The prophets and the kings in Israel had kind of a love-hate relationship. You see, on the one hand, the kings really liked having the prophets around when they represented that God was still interested in them and interested in contacting them. But when the prophets had something negative to say, that they didn't like what the king was doing, then they were not all that happy. It wasn't such a great relationship from their perspective. It was kind of an awkward position for the prophets to be in too, because if they brought a word of encouragement from God to the king, it was pretty great. But if they came with a negative that God was not pleased with them, then it wasn't so great. And so Elijah had come to King Ahab, kind of the backstory of what we're looking at today. And told him he was on God's naughty list. That God wasn't at all pleased with what he's doing. See, he had married Jezebel, a foreign woman, and she brought with her the god of Baal. And places of Baal worship dotted the landscape. And God said to Ahab through the prophet Elijah, because you have done this, there isn't going to be dew or rain in this land until I say it changes. And you are going to experience a major drought. That didn't go over well with Ahab. And he was very angry. And so Elijah had to flee from the wrath of Ahab, and he fled out into the wilderness. And it was really a dire situation for him because he was a hunted man. And he's living out in the wilderness by himself, drinking water out of a wadi and having ravens bring him food. And I kind of wonder if in the quiet moments out there, he's not thinking, oh, this is what I get for speaking God's word. But God came to him and said, get up and go, for I have commanded a widow to feed you. Somehow that doesn't sound like a rescue. So he gets up and he goes. But widows were in a bad position too. Because the widow and the orphan and the stranger, or the alien, we might say, in the land was the poorest of the poor. A widow had no standing in the society of that day because it was more male-dominated. The child of a widow was considered an orphan because of that. The widow, the orphan, the alien had the protection of a citizen adult male in the family. And so widows and orphans and aliens were the poorest of the poor, and their life was miserable. Elijah gets up and he goes, and he gets to the widow in his dire situation and the dire situation of her, and it gets worse. Not only has he gone to the house of a widow, poor, powerless, desperate, but she's out picking up sticks and twigs. She isn't picking up big pieces of wood to make a fire. She's getting what is left because probably all the rest of the wood's been cleared out. And Elijah says, could you go get me something to drink? Really? It's a drought. There's hardly any water around, and you want me to get a drink? But she turns and goes to get the water. Oh, by the way, bring me something to eat. Well, that stopped her in her tracks. And she turns around and says, you know, I don't have anything baked. I just have a small amount of meal and a little bit of oil. And I'm going to make something for myself and my son to eat, and then we're going to die. And Elijah says, don't be afraid. do what I've said. And she goes and she makes him the little cake first. And the story goes on to say that they ate, she, her son, and Elijah, for many days. And the supplies didn't run out. You see, when you hear the word of God and you embrace it and you take it into yourself, God meets you there in the times of anxiety, in the times of dire need, with love, patience, redemption. Flipping through the pages of the Bible, getting to the Mark's passage, we find a widow there. Things haven't changed all that much. She's still the poorest of the poor. She's powerless. Her life is miserable. She doesn't have an adult male citizen to protect her. Her situation is pretty dire. The money she has probably was gleaned from begging in the streets. And is there going to be more money that she'll be given? Was she going to find a place to sleep? Will she have enough to buy food? Dire situation, filled with anxiety. And yet, there's a lot of things that I could say about that passage, but let me focus on this. In her dire situation, Jesus is near, and he commends her for her commitment. He knows about her. He understands her, and he's present with her. God meets us in times of anxiety. Elijah was running from Ahab. Elijah was living in the desert with ravens bringing him food. He was drinking water out of the wadi. He went to the widow eating with the miracle of God. But God met them in that anxiety. The woman in Mark found that Jesus was near her in her time of anxiety. And so if Elijah, in his times of anxiety, can discover that God is meeting him in those times, if the widow can discover that God is meeting her in her times of anxiety, if the widow in Mark knows that Jesus is there, then we can depend upon knowing that God is meeting us in our times of anxiety. Perhaps in the anxiety of having a loved one die. Perhaps in the anxiety of hearing the word terminal illness. Perhaps in the anxiety of losing a job. Perhaps in the anxiety I heard in a woman not too long ago who said that her grandson's house burned down. God meets us in the times of anxiety. Rufus had a favorite Bible story. It was the story of the widow that I read in 1 Kings. He was 99. He was born in Texas. He was born the son of a slave, former slave. He pitched in the Professional Negro League. He was able to get some real estate. He saw lynchings. He had a lifetime of wondering how in the world people can do such atrocities to one another and still go to church and be Christians. But he knew that God meets you in the times of anxiety and uncertainty. God meets you when you're in the bottom of the barrel And he said, if my life isn't enough of an example, then you have this story in Kings that God comes to you when you're in the bottom of the barrel and there's nothing else to do but to look up. And God's there with his peace, his presence, and his redemption, his encouragement, and his strength. My guess is that there's no one here today that isn't anxious about something. We live in a time of anxiety. But God meets us in those times, those anxious moments, with his love, his peace, his hope, his understanding, his redemption, his empowerment. Nobody knows what tomorrow is going to bring, or next week, or next month, or next year. But we do know who holds the future. We know the one that holds the future of the world in his hands, who holds each one of us in our hands. God comes to us in the times of anxiety. Look for him. Be open to him. Embrace him, because he already embraces you. Amen.